birth of our Savior, because it is an amazing thing. As I got into this, so I thought I'm going to kind of use this as a springboard to talk about angels and the spiritual world. So I'm going to kind of start, you know, with the Christmas story and then veer into some things and just talk about that goes on behind what we see with our natural eyes. And so we'll get into that momentarily. So I call this Expectation, Anticipation, and Hope. That's what I called this Advent series over the last few weeks. And angels played an amazing role as it led up to the birth of our Savior. And so I'm going to start with the most common or well-known, and it's a little bit of a long passage. It starts in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And so that is the angelic announcement to Mary. Can you even imagine? Can you even fathom? You know, I'm not sure. I can't remember all the words for the songs that Jen and Diane were singing. But, you know, just that whole idea of this young woman and what happened to her. And then, of course, that created complications, right? Joseph, betrothed to Mary, his bride-to-be, and she's with child, and that had obvious implications and concerns for Joseph, as he did not fully understand. So there's the role of the angel in coming to Joseph, and that's found in Matthew chapter 1. And that was the passage that Tim started the service with this morning. "When the angel came to Joseph and said, 'Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" And then, of course, we have, and we talked about this last week, the angelic announcement to the shepherds. It says in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, "There was in the same country," we know this, we hear this passage all the time as it relates to the Christmas story, "shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" And then, if that's through verse 11, then you go down to verse 13. First, there was one angel that appeared to these shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem. And then it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Heaven was all in with the birth of Jesus Christ, right? Fully involved. His angels were, you know, coming to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds. This amazing activity going on, all this surrounding the birth of our Savior. And it just made me think about the role of angels in the world today. I know that was the birth of the Messiah. I know that was the biggest event in human history. But I also believe with all my heart that angels are still are dispatched, and they have a role today in our lives. They have a role in the world today. And I wonder, do you ever think about that? Do you think about the role of these angelic beings, these beings that God has sent forth? And I hope that this message, as I take some time, a few minutes today, and look at, I just kind of start to dig into the scriptures a little bit more. Angels are mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. This isn't some obscure thing that you have to strain, you know, down through the and find some obscure passage and, you know, pull something out. It's all over the Bible. And yet in our Western mindset today, I think we're so, you know, everything's logical, rational, empirical, you know, I can touch it, I can see it, I can, you know, hear whatever, you know, that we forget about this amazing world that is beyond what we see with our natural eye. And so there's a lot here in Scripture, and I was like, as I sat there yesterday, I looked at the message, I started to pare it down, you know, because I thought, oh my goodness, there's just so much that I was just really getting into it this week. And there's a lot of curiosity, there's a lot of interest, I think, in the hearts of people, even people who aren't believers. Remember the show Touched by an Angel, right? And there's been other, you know, depictions of angels on, you know, television shows and movies and so forth. But I think the vast majority of people, I feel, a larger majority of people tend to err more on the side of just kind of setting it aside, you know, that not really acknowledging that there is that spiritual dimension and there are things going on around us that we can't sense with our physical senses. Meyer Perlman says this. He says, surrounding us is a spirit world, far more populous, powerful, and resourceful than our own visible world of human beings. Spirits, good and evil, right? We'll talk a little bit about that. Move about in our midst with lightning speed and noiseless movement. They pass from place to place. Some we know to be concerned with our welfare. Others are set on our harm. The inspired writers of Scripture draw aside the curtain and give us a glimpse of this invisible world in order that we may be both encouraged and warned. And so, you know, Meyer Perlman's talking about the fact that angels are not things that we, or beings that we see or experience in our natural senses, but there are times, and we see them certainly many times, or the number of times in the Christmas story, where they step through the veil between the spiritual into the physical realm, and they are seen by people. And there's also, and I'll talk about this in a couple of minutes, there are times the Bible says when we encounter angels and we don't even know that they're angels, right? That's a fun, I'm going to have fun, we're going to have fun when we get to that one, okay? So let me just run through quickly a few things that the Bible says about angels. Well, first of all, the name itself, or the you know, the word angel in both the Hebrew in the Greek means messenger. Okay, so that should give us a pretty good sense of a lot of what their mission is. So that's the first thing. You know, what do we know in Scripture about angels? There are we read from the Scriptures that there are different types of angels. Anybody wanna offer anything? Right. There is one particular archangel that's mentioned by name in the Bible. That's Michael, actually. And there could be more, but he's the one that is named. And I think when you read about, when you, I think he's mentioned 15 times, I was reading somewhere in the Scriptures, Michael. And you know what? I think his role is as the guardian of the nation of Israel. When you read it in Daniel, about, you know, when Michael appears and there's this battle and all that. It's amazing. So I think that's what he does. What else? What else? You think of anything else? Right. Seraphim, cherubim. And then, you know, Tim Archer and I were talking a little bit before service because I was telling what I was sharing about. And he was saying, like, what about those four living creatures in Revelation? And I said, you know, I hadn't. And he talked about, you know, he was reading the Scripture out of Ezekiel, the living creatures that are mentioned Ezekiel. So there's a lot. And that's not even touching on the other side, if you will, right? Because there's a whole other side to the angelic realm. There are, of course, fallen angels that comprise the demonic world, principalities and powers and demons and territorial spirits. And that's really, you know, just I had to kind of narrow things down this morning. That's beyond the scope of what I'm going to talk about today. There are only three angels mentioned by name specifically in the Bible. If you've been listening, you've caught, right? Michael, Gabriel. Anybody know the third? Ah, you found, yeah. A fallen angel Isaiah 14:12. O Lucifer, you know, I can't think how that verse goes. Son of the, I'll read it for you because now I'm curious. I can't remember how that verse goes. It's in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It's always hard when you're trying to find it quickly. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. So that's a little bit about the kind of angels, about the names of angels. No one knows how many angels God created. Okay, that's an interesting subject in and of itself, because we read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. You know what's interesting about that verse? Those are just the angels that surround the throne of God. Now, is that all of them? You know, did they all gather together at some point? I don't know. You know, I don't want to go beyond what the scripture says. But, you know, so thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's in verse 11 of Revelation 5. Then you go to verse 12 and it says that what they do, what this vast number of angels do, is they cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." That's what they do. And you know, it's just sometimes we're just dull to this reality. And in Hebrews chapter 12, I don't have it up on the screen, verse 22, it talks about an innumerable company of angels. So who knows how many God created? Many, many, many. In Revelation 12, verse 4, it gives it, at least implies the idea that it, maybe as many as a third of them joined Lucifer in his rebellion. I was reading Gene Edwards' book, A Tale of Three Kings. I love that book, and I try to read it at least once every year. And he says, you know, he's talking about how there's problems in churches, and there's division and there's disagreements and dissensions sometimes in churches. He said, "Don't worry, God had his critics in heaven." You know? And I thought to myself, that's an interesting thing. I never considered that before. So at least possibly as many as a third of those, what we would call maybe fallen angels. Next thing, what do angels do? This is really the crux of it here. And when you think about it, there is nothing that they do that God couldn't do himself by the power of his word, right? But God uses angels just like he uses us, right? Nothing that we can do that God couldn't do without us, but he uses angels as he uses us. And as I said, their name, Malach in Hebrew and Angelos in Angelos in the Greek, messengers. So that's one of the big things they do. They are... So here's one case of an angel as a messenger coming to Mary. Mary comes to the tomb, I meant to say, and she's weeping at the tomb, and as she's weeping, and she looks into the tomb, says, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain, and they gave her a message. And then we read in Daniel chapter 8, we read about experience that he has. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision and I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man, and I heard the voice of a man between the banks of the Ulai, and he called out and said, "Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision." So that was another example where an angel brings a message. When Jesus ascends from the Mount of Olives and ascends up into heaven, two angels appear. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Why do you stand gazing?" I'm thinking, what would I be doing? If I'm standing there, I'm one of the disciples, and Jesus ascends off the Mount of Olives, I'm going to look up, right? But the angels come and they say, "Why are you standing looking up? Jesus is, sometime he's coming back," right? So they're like, get about doing what he told you to do. He's not only ascending up, he's going to come back. In Acts chapter 11, we have the story of Cornelius. An angel appears to him at his home as he's there, and the angel says, send some of your servants to Joppa and go get Peter and bring him back. So that's another case of angels doing, you know, bringing messages and so forth. Angels are engaged in spiritual warfare. And I want to read this. It's not on the screen. It's Daniel chapter 10. I love this passage. Daniel has just some amazing things about angels and just some amazing things in the book of Daniel. It's a great, great prophetic book. Daniel chapter 10, beginning in verse 10. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. And this is the part this gives such a glimpse into the spiritual battle that we don't see. That, like I say, the way I say, it's beyond the veil of what we see with our natural eyes. Verse 12, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, some dark angels, or you know, some representation of that side of the spirit world, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. And again, that's not human kings. That's principalities and powers, territorial spirits. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So just think about this. And think about it in terms of your own life. And when you pray, you know, I'm praying and it just seems like God's answering. And the angel comes to Daniel and said, Daniel, from the very first time that you set your heart to seek God about this, I was dispatched. I was sent forth. But I got into a battle in the spiritual realm. And I know for some, this just seems like superhero movie stuff or something. And it's just like, no, this isn't real. I believe the scriptures and I believe it's real. I do believe that it's real. So there's a spiritual battle going on. It says in Revelation more about this spiritual battle. War broke out in heaven and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. It's pretty amazing stuff in the scriptures. Just a couple more things. Angels attended to Jesus while he was on the earth. We read it when he was tempted in the wilderness. Then the devil left Jesus after this time of temptation. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Angels were involved when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him in Luke 22:43. So they were involved in this, in attending to the needs of Jesus while he was on earth. And I think they do it to us, maybe not in the way that we see and understand, but I believe they're there. They provide, this is like being touchy, angels provide comfort and protection to God's elect. And this is something I really want you to pay especially close attention to. My favorite verse about angels is this one right here. And I quote it continually in my life. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I think that's a verse that you should put in your heart and commit to memory. I committed all of Psalm 91 to memory, but I love that part right there. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. It says in Hebrews 1:14 concerning them, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? They're sent here for us, to help us in our lives. It says, take heed in Matthew 18. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And I think that verse is where the idea of a, quote, I don't know, you know, can you make a case for that, an ironclad case? I don't know, but they are there, and they are here, and they have they are here to minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's us, church. That's us. You know the story in 2 Kings. Elisha and his servant are there, and his servant comes out of the tent. Gehazi, I think was that his name. He comes out and he looks around, and all he sees around him are the chariots and the horsemen of Syria. And he says to Elisha, "We're in big, big trouble. And every side, there the enemy has surrounded us." And what does Elisha do? He says, "Lord, open his eyes." And when God opened Gehazi's eyes, when God opened his eyes, he realized that there was a larger company of angels than the Syrian army that was surrounding them. I was a very young Christian, and I was listening to Christian radio, and there was a story about a missionary, and I don't remember, this is 40-plus years ago. I don't remember what country, I don't remember a lot of the circumstances, but he was with his family in a very dangerous part of the world with some remote, you know, people that they were trying to reach with the gospel. And one night they're in their little house or hut or whatever it was, and they hear all this gathering storm, you know, outside. Not when I say storm, people outside. And they knew what was happening was that this was kind of a hostile tribe of people, and their sense was they have come to do us harm. And so, as I recall, this way I remember the story. I'm driving somewhere. I'm listening on the radio, and there's a man, this missionary and his wife and a couple of kids, right? And they're in this very dangerous situation. And you know, some of you would say, "Oh, I've never let my kids," right? But they're there, and they didn't know what else to do. They heard this gathering storm outside of people and commotion and such, and they sensed what was going on, and they just got on their knees and prayed. And they prayed and they prayed, and I don't remember all the details, how it all played out. But eventually all the sound went away. And so I don't know if they were able to go sleep at that point or what happened, you know, but the night came and went. And the next morning, one of these indigenous people came to them, you know, one of their leaders or something, and said, "We came to do you harm." I don't know if they could speak the language or I don't remember how it all got communicated because it was so many years ago. But they understood that what they were saying to, what this native person was saying to them. "We came to do you harm, but there were men surrounding your house, your hut, with swords, huge men, and scared us, and we just took off. And we wanted, you know," and so, you know, God used that to, I think, draw those people to himself. Sometimes, and this I mentioned this a minute ago, we can have encounters with angels and not know it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:12, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." I don't know, man. This is an amazing verse of Scripture. And someday, I think we may find out that we have entertained angels in our lives and not even understood it, not even realized that it happened. I was reading a story this week somewhere. I don't remember exactly where I was reading, but, you know, I'm kind of on this mindset this week, and I was looking at all this stuff, and I read this one story. And in the story, there was a man, and he was in the hospital, and he was not doing well. And a nurse came in. And I don't remember if it was a male nurse or female nurse or whatever, but started talking to him, started comforting him, started bringing him encouragement and so forth. And eventually this nurse got down on, I'll say it's a woman, I don't remember, got down on her knees next to the bed and prayed for him. And she prayed for him, and then, you know, she got up and she left. And he started to do better. He started to feel better and so forth. And eventually he, you know, other staff, other nurses, doctors, whatever, over the course of the evening and next day, whatever. And he said, where's that one nurse that came in? And tried to explain what he or she looked like. And they're like, "There's nobody that works here that fits that description." So you know, and I was telling Tim this story, you know, before service, and he said, so angels pray? You know, I don't know. It's just, but the idea is, you know, it makes you think, you know, could that be one of those situations where we are entertaining angels and unaware of it? I had a situation years and years ago with a man that came to the church office in Brockport when I was a part of Golden Heights in Brockport. And I don't remember. It seems like he needed a ride to Rochester, or maybe he didn't have a place to go and I was going to take him to there. He was wondering if there was a place, and I was thinking, I'll take him to the Open Door Mission. And this is what I was like, Lord, I can't remember the details, but it was like he left. And I don't know if he left me his phone number. Obviously, he didn't have a cell phone or anything like that. But, or if he said, I'm going to go, I'll come back. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to get this guy. And then, you know, I never saw him again, never heard from him. You know, no, it was like he just vanished. I don't mean it in a spooky way, just vanished. But, it, you know, I started to wonder. I was like, I wonder if that was one of those cases where, you know, you're entertaining angels unaware. I had a situation. I probably should tell a story. But a guy came into my office and, and he's a wonderful guy, but I know when he comes in my office, it's going to be a while, right? And I won't even call it a conversation because it's just, I mean, I could probably go in the other room and, you know, and I don't even know if he would, he just, you know, just tell, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man, but just tell, and so I'm sitting there and I'm like, kind of, you know, looking at my watch a little bit, thinking, man, you know, just talking, and so I'm like, Lord, you've got a purpose in this, you know, there's something, and I need to, you know, have a better attitude and, you know, forgive, you know, I'm just confessing my own shortcomings at times. And then the thought occurred to me, maybe this guy's an angel, right? And God says, you know, this is something that God is just trying to show me or teach me. I don't know. But anyway, so just a couple more. Angels are a part of the second coming of the Lord. It says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. So they're a part of the second coming, the gathering of the saints. Angels are curious about redemption. You see that verse? I got it up here. It's in 1 Peter. To them, this is talking all about preaching the gospel. You know, it's revealed that not to themselves, but to us, which are ministering and so forth. It's on, you know, who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. And so as I read that, I think what I read out of that is angels probably look and say, why does God love these people so much? Right? Why did he send his son? Why does he do all these things for these ungrateful people? So they're just curious. What is all this, right? And lastly, angels rejoice when a sinner repents. So they understand that much. Whoops. Sorry. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So I took you on a little tour, a little journey through the scriptures about angels, some of their activity and their ministry. We could spend another, you know, twice as long probably talking about that, and then if you get into fallen angels and so forth. But I'll end here. I mentioned to you that I read a while back, pulled it off the shelf from 30-plus years ago, Frank Peretti's book, Piercing the Darkness. And as I was reading it, and that's a lot of what, you know, he just took with all these things that I just read to you in Scripture, and he kind of created, and yes, it's a fictional, it's a novel and all that, but I think there's some inspiration in what he wrote. And so in Piercing the Darkness, there's a lot of, you know, kind of, again, trying to pull back the veil. And so I just want to read a couple short excerpts. I thought it would be kind of neat. He names all the angels, you know, just probably help at least. I'm sure they probably do have names, even though I mentioned there's only three that are named in Scripture. But so Tal, that's one of them, and he's like the captain or whatever. Tal had to take a moment just to shake his head at the immensity of it all. Gilo, that's another angel, expressed anxiety. Captain, we've never before hoped for so many things to go right that can go so wrong. Tal looked toward heaven and smiled a curious smile. We can hope for all of them to go right as long as the saints are praying. That's the key part. As long as the saints are praying, and they are. There was a mutter of agreement from all of them. They could feel it. So, Tal continued, if all goes well, this time we advance, we conquer, we set the enemy back. We purchase just one more season of restraint. Then later on, the heroine of the book, Sally, she's being chased by these men that are trying to kill her. And it goes like this, just a little quick reading. Follow the woman, get her, the spirits of broken birch. That was a satanic cult that was in the book. The spirits of broken birch thought only of the woman and stayed close to the ground in hot pursuit, guiding and empowering the four killers who now thrashed and clawed their way through the forest looking for their fleeing prey. There the killers spotted her, struggling up a steep bank, losing strength, stumbling, falling. Tears streamed down Sally's face. Her shirt clung to her back. Soaked with sweat, she clambered over the stones and then flopped to the ground. Her arms and legs would no longer move. She couldn't see. She couldn't think. She felt like she was dreaming. Demons jumped on the backs of the killers. Kill her! Kill her! Then there was a roaring sound behind them. The forest flooded with light. Some looked back. They screamed. Others looked back also. Cut off! Ambush! Take them, said Tal. Tal heard Sally's screams above the battle and shouted, Gilo, yeah! Came Gilo's answer as he shot up from the center of the ebbing cloud, and he heard it too, side by side with wings spread full and trailing fire. They dove like meteors for the mountain, rolled sharply to the right, then dropped into the forest, lighting up the treetops. Is imagination getting away with him? Frank Peretti? Who knows what, but there's a battle. There's something that goes on behind the veil of what we see. And I just think it would be good for us to be more aware of it and more sensitive to it. And we know that there's a battle. We know that there are demonic forces who are doing the bidding of our enemy, Satan, and then there are heavenly hosts who have been dispatched to provide protection and comfort and victory to the saints of God. Numerous, numerous times in Scripture we read about these battles. There are angelic hosts who have been tasked with the job of acting and warring on behalf of you, saints of God, on behalf of me, on behalf of us. They are empowered by our prayers. And the prayers of God's people make a difference. Spiritual battles are happening all around us, and I just want you to understand and be more aware of it. Once in a while, angels step through the veil between the spiritual and into the physical, and we see them and their glory and their power. I've never personally, I don't know if any of you have, there's a story, just one last scripture, it's in the book of Acts. Peter's in prison. It says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Can you imagine that? In Peter's case, he's in prison, he's in chains, and an angel comes and hits him and says, get up. Rise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. And so he did, and he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done was by an angel, or what was done by the angel was real. But he thought he had seen a vision, and then he realized that it was real. So other times they step through the veil, like I said, and we don't realize even that they are angels. We think they're just other human beings. We are not to worship them. We are not to pray to them. We don't try to direct them. That's not our job. We pray to God, and He does the dispatching. God is the dispatcher, okay? He'll take care of it. Our Western mindset doesn't warm up to this probably that much. We think, like I said, oh, it's just all a bunch of stuff from some superhero movie. But I believe the testimony of Scripture. And I can't wait for the day. You know, I just can't wait for the day when we get the opportunity to find out all of the angelic encounters that have happened in our lives, throughout our life, all the times that angels protected us, all the time they caused us to turn right and not left, the times when we were delayed and when we went to get our keys and they weren't there, and we're all frustrated and stuff, and who knows but that God is arranging things to protect us from something. I can't wait for the times to find out, you know, have there been times in my life where I've entertained angels unaware? If I have had those opportunities, I hope I responded in a way that pleases God, right? And not like, what are you doing here? Let me alone. I know I probably raise more questions than answers sometimes. You know, what about when bad things do happen? What about when we do suffer? What about when tragedy is not for? I don't have all the answers, obviously, but I do believe that there are angels around us and they are doing God's bidding, just like the way the angels were involved in the birth of Jesus. They were there doing God's bidding. They were there bringing messages. They were there guiding God's people. And the prayers of the saints are critical to the fulfillment of their service. And the last thing I'll just say is remember that one thing I had up on the screen a few moments ago. They rejoice when one person repents. They understand. Maybe they don't understand. It says they're curious. You know, it says they desire to look into this whole thing of redemption with us. But they understand it enough that they know the heart of God is pleased when a sinner repents. So they rejoice with him as well. Amen. Let's stand. And if you're in a place today where you don't know Jesus Christ, why don't you give an angel a chance to rejoice, right? And turn to him. Turn to Jesus. Father, we just come before you this morning. I covered a lot of stuff at lightning fast speed today. But just trying to help us understand that there is more to this life than we see with our five senses. Yeah, we see a lot with our five senses, and we got to respond to that, and we see the hurts and the needs around us, and we're called to minister in that way. But Lord, there's a whole spiritual dimension that is at work, and I believe it animates what we see with our physical eyes. And sometimes I'm dull to it. Sometimes probably to one degree or another, we're all dull to it. But I pray, God, that you would just open our hearts, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes. The Bible talks in, I believe it's Ephesians 1:19, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that our spiritual eyes would be enlightened. And God, we're not going off on some wild goose chase or whatever. That's not who we are, and that's not what I want to come out of this message. Just an awareness and a sensitivity, as well as an understanding of the importance of prayer. And how critical that is to this whole matter, to the spiritual dimension. And God, and again, God, there's nothing that you can't do without, you couldn't just do by the power of your word, but you have chosen to use us. You have chosen to use these amazing beings that you created. And I thank you, God, that we're on the winning team. Amen? I'm so grateful for that. And I just pray for any heart here that just needs to be open to you. It just needs to say yes to Jesus. What a great Christmas it would be if you just said yes to Jesus. If you're in a place today where you do not know him, you've heard about him, you know the stories, you've heard the message of the gospel in one capacity or another, I just pray that you'd open your heart to Jesus and say, yes, Lord, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. It says the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. Not just when a sinner says, you know, prayer or says certain words, but when someone truly repents and turns from their sins to follow Jesus. So God, I pray that if anyone here needs to take that step, that they would do that instead. We thank you, God. Thank you for your word. I just pray that in some way I was able to create a little more hunger, a little more awareness in the hearts of your people today. We thank you.